Alrighty, we are continuing on in the book of Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 13 today. Last week we began talking about Abram, and we'll do that a lot more. He is a central character, of course. But this week we're going to talk about another character, one that I'm sure you are familiar with. It's a guy by the name of Lot. Tell me what you know about Lot.
He went to the city he wasn't supposed to go to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He wound up in the wrong place.
And it was he and his wife, and maybe his family
anyway.
When he left, his wife turned around
and
went to
the city and took over Saul. Pretty good. Who was he related to?
Abraham.
He was Abraham's
nephew.
Abraham's nephew. So the thing we remember about Lot is that he started out well, wound up in the wrong place. Did you know that, I mean, you don't know exactly how old he is, but you can speculate, and I sort of speculate that Lot was a 30-something, about your age. When he started making those decisions. Have you made those decisions in your life yet that you're just going to live by till you die? I love talking to the old guys like me. I start hanging out with the old guys. And, they start telling the stories, and this is just the way it is, and that's just kind of the way it always has been. And those decisions you kind of make in your 20s and usually on into your 30s. So right now you're sort of setting the tone, or you may have already set it for the rest of your life. I think in the 40s you begin to think, is this all there is? And that's where the midlife crisis comes from. This is not what I intended, but this is where I wound up. But it is what God intended. So are you okay with that? We think sometimes that God's will is this thing that's tucked away and that's hidden. And it's really not. God takes us and he guides us right where he wants us to be. But we are fed this idea that we can be more, we can be better. And a lot of us buy into that. And therein comes the problem. Just like Lot. It happened not all at once, but just a little bit along. Just this one decision here and another decision there to step away from God's word and then move toward things that are out of God's will. Nobody wakes up and says, I've decided I'm going to take my life and I'm going to become an alcoholic. I want to live in the gutter. That's my goal in life. Nobody ever says that, do they? But people wind up there because they make a decision. They take that first drink and then they take another, and eventually there they are. So let's start chapter 13, verse 1. Remember, we left Abram down in Egypt, and there he had told Sarai, his wife, don't tell them we're married because they'll kill me. You're a good-looking woman. Just tell them you're my sister. Don't you love that? And anyway, of course, it's found out. Pharaoh pretty much throws them out of Egypt. And verse 1 of chapter 13 is where we pick up. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Lot had watched all of that into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. Abram went back to the altar. Now, Lot saw the altar, Lot saw the trip to Egypt, and Lot sees them go back to the altar. And what happens at the altar? End of verse 4, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram repented. But you wonder how much Lot paid attention to that. I think somewhat.
Reading on, starting in verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. For if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, remember way back at the last lesson, there were four things that God told Abram to do. You remember what those four things were?
Leave his father,
that was one of them. Leave the land that he was born in, that was the other. Go to the land that I had shown thee, Canaan. And then there was a fourth thing. Not only leave your father, but leave your whole family. And Abram had done three of those four, but he took Lot with him. Well, now God made it so to where the two of them had to part ways. God saw to it that Abram and Lot wouldn't be together. God wanted Abram separated from his family. In chapter 13, starting in verse 14, God talks to Abram now that Abram has finally fulfilled those four things in the separation between he and Lot. We'll get to that in a later lesson. I want us to focus on Lot today, because it was step by step, little by little, inch by inch, that Lot went the wrong way. We talked about the conflict. What was the conflict? We just read it.
Sharing the land.
They had too much cattle. Cattle take water, and cattle take grass. And there was just too many cattle for the resources there. So, what was the solution? Time to part ways. And Abram gave Lot the choice. Abram says, whatever's left over, I'll be fine with. You go ahead and choose. And so Lot made a choice. His choice was, let's take this route. Look how beautiful the grass is there. Look at the water that's there. But there was a problem. And what was the problem? The problem was Sodom. Now, there are some people who would argue that Sodom really wasn't full of Sodomites, but that's kind of a foolish argument, isn't it? That was the issue back then. These men had determined that, I can just live any way that I want to live, and this is what I want to do. And they had all grouped themselves together, and that was the sin. But the issue I really want us to focus on is Lot. Lot wasn't attracted to the sin. Lot was attracted to the wealth. Lot was attracted to the ease of living there. And Lot said something that might sound familiar. Lot said, well, I see the evil, but don't worry about me. I got a plan. Have y'all ever said anything like that? Yeah, I know. But I got a plan.
Or here's another one that I like too. I see the evil, but I'll be careful. How many dumb things, how many times have you gotten in trouble right after you said, oh, it's okay, I'll be careful. I know it's not the best decision. I know it looks wrong on the surface, but I know this going in. I'll be careful. Those things don't usually work out too well, do they? But we think that they will. Whenever you hear that, a little red flag ought to come up, shouldn't it? Big red flag ought to come up. You're starting down a path that you probably ought not be going down. Isn't that kind of what Lot did? The first thing Lot did was he lifted up his eyes. And he said, you know, looks really good over there. He saw the plain, green. You know, I won't have to work hard at all. My cattle will be able to find everything they want to. And I don't have to do all this well digging. You know how hard it is to dig a well? And then even after you dig a well, you know what you got to do? You got to get a pot down there, and you got to get a pot of water back up. Even after you dig a well, it's a lot of work just to keep those cattle well fed and well watered. But there, man, they could just graze wherever they want to. And look, there's water just running by. These cows will take care of themselves. I got it made. So he saw this. It's easy. Isn't that what we see? Oh, don't worry about the problem. I know there's, you know, I might be doing business with this guy that's a crook, but it's okay. I'll be careful. Yeah. So after Lot looked, then Lot made a choice. He saw the ease, and he chose that direction, just like we do. And then what did he do? He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, verse 13 says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. And the last word is exceedingly. These are evil people and everybody knows it. And yet, they seem to be doing just fine. They lived in a really good part of town. They were wealthy. And Lot said, you know, I can compromise just a little bit because it would be nice for me to be wealthy too. So that's what he did. And yet, even in the midst of that, God warned Lot. If you read chapter 14, and again, we'll come back and read most all of this, but the city-state of Sodom was under subjection to another king. And they rebelled, and so that king came, took the city captive. Well, guess what? By this time, chapter 14, verse 12 says that Lot dwelt in the city. He quit living in a tent now. Man had him a house. He's moving up in the world. And he too was taken captive, just like all the other people in Sodom. And when Abram heard about it, Abram went and rescued Lot and all the other people in Sodom. And yet, the warning went unheeded. Well, of course it did. Those men of Sodom were wicked. They didn't know any better. But Lot knew better. It didn't register with Lot either. So, we come to chapter 19, and we pick up with Lot again. I want you to notice where Lot is at now. Chapter 19, verse 1. This is after the angels had visited with Abram, and Abram had spent time saying, would you destroy a whole city if there were 50 righteous in the city? And God said, well, no. And he said, well, how about 45? No, God says, I'll spare the city for 45. And the argument goes on until he gets down. Well, Lord, would you spare the city if there were 10 righteous? And God says, no, I'll spare the city if there's 10. And Abram says, cool. Because he was thinking there's Lot and his wife. And then Lot must have had about 4 children who had been married. Maybe some grandchildren. Yeah, that would come out. There's 10. God will spare my nephew because he's righteous and his family will be righteous. There's got to be 10. That's speculation, but it's pretty straightforward speculation, wouldn't you say? So there was Lot and his wife, and there were some children, and there were some grandchildren. 10. But look where Lot is at as the angels come to destroy the city of Sodom. He's not just dwelling in Sodom. Look where they find him. He sat in the gate. That's not on its surface much to us until you think about what that is. That's where all the business deals were done. They didn't have written contracts, but two people who wanted to do business, they brought their agreement to the gate. And the elders of the city sat at the gate, the big shots in town. And these two men said, we both agree that this is what we're going to do. And they would swear there at the city gate, and that's where they did business. Or if you had a dispute with your neighbor, you brought it to the gate for the dispute to be settled. This is where the town council met, if you will. This is where the big shots in town were. If you were a big shot in town, you sat at the gate. Sat in the gate. So, guess what? Lot has compromised himself so much now that he's a big shot in Sodom. Is that really your goal? Do you really want to be a worldly big shot? I don't think that Lot set out to do that, but you know, one step leads to another, which leads to another, and eventually, it doesn't matter what other people do. Eventually, it doesn't matter really what you do. You begin to judge yourself by those around you. And I'm sure Lot said, of everybody in Sodom, I'm pretty good. What? You know, think about that. Lot says, I'm probably the best person there is in Sodom. What a goal. Lot probably said, you know, I'm the most righteous, godly man in Sodom. Something to brag about, isn't it? But that's what he did. And there he sat in the gate, feeling good about himself, until God showed up. And then he didn't feel so powerful, proud at that point. And then the nature of the city revealed itself too, didn't it? You read on in chapter 19 and it just gets bad. I mean, the men of the city in the evening are pounding on the door because Lot said, no, you can't sleep in the street. You need to come in my house. And the men of the city are pounding on the door and they said, and we know you got these men in there. Bring them out. We would like to know them. We want to humble them. We want to do those ungodly things with them, on them, to them, however you want. And what was Lot's response? Not these men. Take my daughters. There is where Lot had descended to. And yeah, he can pat himself on the back. He probably was the most righteous, the most godly man in Sodom. But step by step, little by little, inch by inch, Lot had descended to that level. God's going to destroy Sodom. But God won't destroy Sodom while Lot is there. Lot had went and talked to his sons-in-law, and he seemed as though he were a mocker. This is not the Lot we know. What do you mean God's going to destroy us because of our sin? You've never said anything like that before. So sons-in-law are going to stay behind. That means daughters are going to stay behind. That means probably grandchildren are going to stay behind. As I get older and have grandchildren, I begin to think more about grandchildren. You know, they say that grandchildren are the blessing that you have for not killing your children. And there's a lot of truth in that. Grandchildren are a lot more fun. And yet Lot knew he was going to be leaving family behind. So as the time comes, look at verse 16, chapter 19, verse 16. Well, verse 15 says, when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, said, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Nobody that's not here is coming. This is all there is, Lot. It's time to go. And then verse 16 says, and while he lingered, can't do it. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. The angels of the Lord grabbed him. And upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They brought him kicking and screaming out of Sodom. You know, we're looking for the rapture of the church, you and I. That's when God's going to come back and take those that are his own. And we know that the Bible says he's going to come like a thief in the night. That means we're not going to know when. But I wonder if perhaps he's going to take us like they took Lot, kicking and screaming, I can't go. Is that the way the rapture is going to catch you? I'm not ready. Whoa! Just hang on here a minute. I like it here. There's too much that I'll leave behind. Yeah? There is a man that I knew who had lived an ungodly life. And as he was dying, the Lord miraculously saved him. And he spent his last few days, I'm less than a week, on his deathbed, pleading with his children to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as he had. And he told them, I have done everything wrong, but I know better now. And I love you. Will you trust Christ? And he, like Lot, seemed as though he were just mocking. He didn't make much of an impact on his children. You have an opportunity yet, today, to make an impact. And it may take 30 years to do it. But if you start today, you've got 30 years. The choices you make today will determine whether or not you have any influence or not. And yeah, you're going to have to put a little life into it. You know, if Lot had it to do over again, I think Lot would have. We're going to skip 2 Peter here just for the sake of time. But 2 Peter calls Lot just Lot. That's a good thing. It wasn't Lot only that was saved from Sodom and Gomorrah. It was Lot and his wife, even though she turned back, and his two daughters. So there were four. But 2 Peter calls Lot the just man, or a justified man. when you're saved, that's the way God looks at you. Doesn't matter what you are. We know we are sinners, but God saved us. That means He cleansed us and made us just as if we had never sinned. But the verse, chapter I really want us to look at is in Luke chapter 17. Turn with me there, starting in verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now that makes it sound like Lot walked out under the leadership of the Lord, doesn't it? The same day that Lot went out. It should read the same day that the angels drug Lot and his family out of Sodom and set them on the outside and refused to let them go back in. On that day, it rained fire and brimstone. Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then one of the strangest verses in the whole Bible, verse 32 says this, remember Lot's wife. Lot made the decision, and Lot's wife followed. And yet, when the time came for them to leave, Lot's wife, I think, knew more acutely what they were leaving behind than even he did. And the angel said, don't look back. But she did, because there was too much back there. I want you to look around you today. You still have an influence. Make sure it's a godly influence. Make sure you make those decisions today that you're going to live by till the day you die. Those decisions right here. And that you consistently, over time, make those godly decisions. Because guess what? People are watching. Men, your wives are watching, and your children are watching. And men, happy Father's Day. But you know, we carry a great influence that we don't pay much attention to. Women do things because they have to be done. Women are great at that. What a wreck our lives would be if it weren't for the women in our lives. But children pick up really early on that men do what men want to do. Make sure that they see you want to come to church. And you make sure that they see you want to serve God. That you want to put God first. You don't have to tell them. You just have to show them. Because you have a big influence on your family. It wasn't Lot that looked back. He knew what God had said. But Lot's wife did. If Lot had been a better husband, they never would have been in that situation. So, happy Father's Day, but remember Lot's wife. When the time comes and the Lord comes back, let's be able to let go of this world. Because we'll be like Noah. We'll be taking those that are important to us with us. Let's not be like Lot and leave behind those that are important to us. You can make that choice today. Let them see what's important.